Well, one guy that I support in everything is our dear friend. He joins us every Friday to talk football, Chris Landry. Chris, it's Dave and Katie. Nate gone this week. How are you doing?
Hey, Dave, Katie. I apologize for my tardiness. It's great to be with you guys.
No. You're 100% fine. What I would like you to apologize for is trying to convince me that my boys had a chance last week.
Oh, man. No, that was listen, I can tell you, I didn't see that one coming. I'm not surprised that it was a good performance by Louisville, but I thought it would be close if either way. I did not see it. It's just, you know, it's one of those things where they could not match up to the tempo of Louisville's offense, and I think it was I don't know. I mean, maybe it's the three games in 12 days. I don't know. They just got completely outplayed. I don't think they're that bad. I think Louisville is good. But I certainly don't think FSU is that bad. We'll see, though. I wouldn't want to be South Florida this week. If they struggle against USF, then I think we got some problems.
And I'm just giving you crap, obviously. I did think Louisville would win, but part of that is probably me being a homer for Florida State and setting myself up. At the same time, I had no idea that it, and I knew we talked about Lamar Jackson and how amazing he was, but it had been against, what, Charlotte, I think, and Syracuse.
Right.
He goes in and Derwin James was out for Florida State, and that was a big deal. But to see him and that team not only be able to throttle FSU like that, but something we talked about, Chris, Jimbo Fisher may be the best in the country at halftime adjustments, and the only halftime adjustment FSU made was laying back and getting killed even more.
Yeah, it was just one of those circumstances in which they couldn't get off the mat, and I really believe it was just they couldn't keep up with the tempo. They couldn't get aligned. You know, there were times when I broke down the tape, there were times when I saw that FSU had good pass rush. Lamar Jackson just beat them and ran the football, extended plays, made plays in the passing game. It was a very impressive performance, and it just was one of those when things go downhill, sometimes it's hard to stop that snowball rolling downhill.
You know, Chris, every week we do a pick four, and up to this point we haven't brought you into it, but – we're going to move on to some NFL. Nope, we're putting after what happened with Louisville and Florida State, I want to get you involved with our pick four. I'm going to give you four NFL games this week, and I want you to pick your winner. And then the final, we need a tiebreaker. We're going to get put Chris in on this. Okay, you ready for this, Chris?
This will be great. Sure, sure, whatever.
All right, we've got the Steelers at the Eagles. Who you got?
Steelers.
All right. Any particular reason? That's my game to watch this week.
Yeah, I think it's a really good defensive team that is going to be a little bit tougher for Carson Wentz, who's been great, by the way. The Steeler team is really moving the football well. I think that the Eagles secondary is going to struggle a little bit in this game.
All right. Next up, we've got the Vikings at the Panthers.
You know, this is really tough for me. I would go with Carolina at home getting it done, but to me that's a toss-up game. That could go either way.
Okay, so you're picking the Panthers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
no wishy-washiness Chris.
But, you know, if I feel strongly about it, I'll say it. If not, then, you know. But yeah, I think that's a close one. I'd go with Carolina at home, though.
All right, we've got the Niners at Seattle.
Whew, boy, this one, offenses are not real pretty here. I'll go with Seattle at home. I still think that they've got a little bit more going for them, and defensively, that's the best unit of all these teams here, Seattle's defense. I'll go with the Seahawks at home.
All right, we've got, finally, the Raiders at the Titans.
Hey, listen, this may be, to me, this has to be the Raiders. They have to get it done against that Tennessee defense. If the Raiders are going to be a player, and they lost to me an opportunity last week at home against Atlanta, you got to beat Tennessee. You are not going to be for real if you can't go on the road and beat Tennessee. So of all these picks, I'm the strongest saying the Raiders win on the road here. Even though you're leaving the West Coast, going to a central time zone, I get all that.
Yeah.
The Raiders got to win this.
All right, we need a tiebreaker for this. So what is your final score in that game?
Oh, I would say that they could put about 38. I would say 38-27, something in that range.
And we'll stay deeper in that ball game there. Obviously, we'll focus quite a bit on the Niners and Raiders. So they're going into Tennessee, and you've got a Tennessee team that has scored 16 points in each game. Now, when you look at who they've played, though, is – is that defense more about, you know, the defense, or is it more about who they've been matched up with so far?
Well, you know, listen, they've played. Listen, for the Raiders going to, and you're talking about the Raiders, right?
I was talking about Tennessee only, Tennessee scoring 16 a game, and Tennessee being able to hold teams to a few points. That was a little bit surprising for
touchdowns.
Me.
I think it's a byproduct of both. I think it's more of who the offenses that they faced, although I think Dick LeBeau had a really good game plan last week. I'm not ready to say this Titans defense is all that good. But I will say this, I've got more concerns about the Raiders defense. Like, when are they going to show up? Because that's been the biggest thing that shocked me, is they're getting no pass rush. And listen, I understand maybe first week, going on the road to New Orleans, you get in those shootout games with Drew Brees, but I thought for sure at home they would be able to lock up against Atlanta. That may have been the most solid pick. Well, one of them. Well, the other one probably would have been Jacksonville against San Diego. Both of those were wrong. I just was really surprised that they are getting nothing on the defensive side, which is why I feel like this week the defense arrives against, you know, a Titans offense that's still a run-first unit that's struggling in the passing game. I just think that you got to get well if you're the Raiders this week.
I'm curious about the Raiders defense and what you're seeing, Chris, because they've looked really bad, and I can't figure out if it's just an oversimplified game plan by Ken Norton Jr., but is there anything that you can tell us that will explain just why they are as bad as they've been the last 2 weeks?
Sure. Here's what's jumped out on tape. They're not covering well, and they're not getting pass rush, which is just the worst combination, because obviously there are guys running free, but they're not getting enough pressure. If pressure creates coverage options, and good coverage allows pressure to get home, but they're not doing either. And so both I think can be better. There's no doubt that they're having to make some adjustments in coverage, and Sean Smith hasn't played very well early. That to me is concerning, but most of all, they got to get home with the pass rush. I mean, you've got to be able to pressure the quarterback. They could not get it done last week. And that just allows guys to run free. They've got some good receivers with all the that they've played against thus far. So those guys are going to get open if you can't get good pressure. So to me, it's pass rush, one, and lack of coverage ability, lack of staying on top of routes. That's been as simple as that. I don't think it's been too simplified. I don't think it's been too complicated. They've certainly got to challenge their guys, though, to make sure that they're comfortable and are able to get that improved upon.
Ken Norton Jr. doesn't have a ton of experience in terms of making the defensive play calls. We saw Jack Del Rio on Sunday take over in that final possession defensively in terms of making the play calls. Do you think we're going to see more of that from Jack Del Rio in terms of maybe taking a little bit of the reins away from Ken Norton Jr. this early in the season?
Well, you could. I think it really depends upon how their play progresses. I think that he has confidence in Ken, but obviously there's some things that he's noticed that he just hadn't been comfortable with. And I think we're seeing that. I mean, we've seen that with the Redskins, that they've kind of changed how their coverage philosophies a little bit. You do that. I mean, it's really not that big of a deal. When you struggle, you have to make adjustments. Mm-hmm. And when you're a defensive coach, you make those type of adjustments, and you hear about it a little bit more. You know, it happens in New England with Bill Belichick, but you don't hear about it. I think we could. The answer to that is just really depend on how well this unit performs as to how much Jack feels he needs to get involved. And sometimes getting that head coach involved just kind of puts a light on with the players, because in essence they know their coach, their defense coordinator, is doing their job. And it's a way sometimes as a head coach to put even more pressure on the players and say, look, you know, I'm going to hold you accountable, Mr. Coordinator. I'm going to. And guys tend to realize, hey, you know, we've got to step up now. There are other cases where I've seen where players take the attitude, well, you know, it's not our fault. He thinks it's the coordinator's fault. But I think you have to know your team, and I believe Jack does.
Chris Landry joining us on KHTK. What is going on, and how do you interpret the Seattle Seahawks' first two games? Obviously, Russell Wilson's had injury issues. Thomas Rawls has had injury issues. We don't know if that offensive line's ever recovered since Max Unger left. Niners go in to Seattle this weekend. Seattle coming off that loss at L.A. What is this team, Chris?
This is a team that has gotten progressively worse on the offensive line. I think for all their success they've had in Seattle with personnel, they've been too cute with their offensive line. And what I mean by that is, you know, Tom Gable's going to fix it. Tom will find certain type of guys. He likes project guys. And you need good players. And I don't think they have enough good players on their offensive line. And the ones that they've drafted in the past, they've let go or not been really healthy. And they've got a problem. They just don't match up front. And I think Tom does a great job coaching and scheming, but you got to have some ingredients to make that meal taste good. And right now it tastes really bad. And that's affecting their ability to run. They are losing the line of scrimmage on that side of the ball. Certainly Russell Wilson's got a gimpy ankle. You know, you can talk about, hey, the passing game is going to be more of a factor all you want. If the protection's not there, well, forget that. And certainly they're trying to run by committee. But, again, when you're losing the line of scrimmage, kind of difficult. They're leading. They're near the top of the league at their backs getting hit behind the line of scrimmage. So that's a bad sign. And if that doesn't continue, then it's going to be about the defense trying to pull it out game in, game out. You know, that is certainly a formula to win, but you've got to augment that with better offensive production that they have right now.
Interesting Thursday night matchup last night, Chris, with Houston being shut out by New England, who is on their third string quarterback. I don't think anyone would have been able to foresee this coming, that not only with Tom Brady being out four games, then Jimmy Garoppolo coming out and playing as well as he did, then getting hurt. And then you put a rookie into this situation and they absolutely annihilate the Texans. How good is this team going to be once Tom Brady returns in week five?
Scary. Scary good. I think that, and you know, Tom Brady's coming back with a vengeance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would expect that he might surpass his records minus the four games in just doing it in 12 games. I just think he's going to be on fire. Listen, they get Gronk healthy. I mean, remember that. You know, they're playing with backup linemen. You know, we'll talk about Seattle and. But, you know, Dante Scarnecchia is one of the great offensive line coaches, and he's done a phenomenal job. That defense is better than it has been in the past. They're more athletic. They're really flow to the ball. And, listen, I'm sitting there last night, and I'm watching it, and I realize, you know, I had the pleasure and just the great fortune to sit at a table on a staff where Bill Belichick was to my right and Nick Saban was right across from me. And I'm thinking, you know, in this modern day of football, there's and no doubt in my mind, and I know there's a little prejudice involved, but Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in NFL history in my mind, and Nick Saban's the best college football coach. And to be around those guys, I'm not going to tell you that when I was around them, I thought they would be the greatest ever, because no one thinks that. But I knew they were great. I knew they were special. Bill Belichick is special. How he teaches, how he demands certain things, attention to detail, and how he coaches the coaches. That's the most unique thing that people don't realize. Josh McDaniel is a great offensive coordinator. He was a young guy that was a young coach on the defensive side. He's developed him into a great offensive coordinator. And Matt Patricia, his defensive coordinator, was an assistant offensive line coach that he developed because he recognized their intelligence and he taught them. And if you can teach a player and a player or a coach and they work hard, they're going to be great. So you can change coaches, you can change players. Belichick picks the players, he trains the scouts, and you know you can have Tommy Dimitroff and Scott Pioli lead. They don't miss a beat with they don't. It's not about those guys. It's about Bill. And he's just the best I've ever seen at getting a team ready to play on a week-to-week basis. And I had a feeling when you count them out, and it absolutely had to be Houston's game last night, didn't it? That's mm-hmm. when they're the most dangerous. Now, I tell you when they'll lose a game this year, when no one's going to expect it. It's going to be against a team that hadn't won but a couple of games, and it's going to be a blowout, and they'll lose that. But they're not going to lose a game where people are counting them out. They just don't do it.
Well, you know, we got through the entire interview without you getting to the biggest breaking news of the whole deal, and that you got a new promo code going on right now, Chris.
Well, we do. Yeah. You know, of course, we still got 50% off if you want to try it for a year, $49.99 using the code seasonal. But if you just want to try it out, we think we got a great opportunity. We thought about it. How about 80% off for the first month? $2 for the first month. Jeez. You go on the website, you see the $2 bill, click on it, use the code 2, T-W-O, and you'll get all the access to all our information. We can't do any better than that than just give you $2 for the first month. Enjoy it. We're in the season. We think you'll love it. We've had great response, and obviously people want to stay involved with us, and we hope that they will. So LandryFootball.com, we appreciate you checking us out.
Yeah, question your business practices. You got a phone bill to pay for. Right? You got to do that on $2.
I know.
Come on, man.
I think we're gonna get a lot of people interested.
And he's sending half of everything he gets to the relief in Baton
Rouge.
True.
Doing good stuff,
still
too.
Still doing that.
Hey, Chris, you hear Chris Landry all week long on this station spouting college football and NFL knowledge. Absolutely go visit his website. We appreciate your time as always, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, thanks. And make sure my picks, you lose those so you don't have to keep track of
them. Not happening, Chris. Not happening.
Hey, Chris.
I figured I wouldn't get away with that. Hey, have a great weekend of football, guys.
Chris, my 9 and 8-year-old are visiting today. It's daddy daycare today. And coming up in half an hour, they're making the picks, too.
So. Awesome. Well, I guarantee you, I know who I got my money on. They're going to win it.
See you, buddy. Take care.
Hey, thanks. Take care.
All right. Bye. That's Chris Landry. Wheel of Kings is coming up in just minutes. We still have Wheel of Kings for you. We got our daily audio. We're hearing all kinds of we got Bill Belichick quotes, which are always fun. We'll hear a little bit from the Niners Raiders.
There's some word about a memo that went out from the NBA to players.
Oh,
about
is there?
Some social issues before the season starts. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit.
We got time for that along with our pick four. We'll make our pick four at around 8:45. In the meantime, if you want to sneak in and be a couple of last people to make pick four picks,
yeah,
do it right now. We've only got a handful in on Monday. It's very simple. Just pick the team that's going to win. No lines, no nothing. You just got to do the tiebreaker score for the Raiders. Steelers, Eagles, Vikings, Panthers, Niners, Seattle, Raiders, Titans, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. If you want to be the last to get your pick four picks in Wheel of Kings next, get out your pen and paper, write it down. We're right back on Sports 1140 KHTK.